Hello, everybody. We are back once again. And by we, I mean myself. And I do have a special guest in the stew today. Ty.
Ty is back, baby.
Ty is back. We had so much fun recording our last episode we did together, Praying the Caves Away. If you haven't listened to that one yet, go check it out. I think we had fun. But I thought there was no better way to kick off season two of Olivia's Obscura than with you, Ty.
Woo!
I'm so happy to have you here. How are you feeling?
I'm so excited to be back. I'm honored to be launching the season with you.
I'm really excited. I thought that it would be a fun, like, entry into season two because we're gonna do like a bit of a summer media roundup. Music, movies, etc.
And I don't know the itinerary today.
You don't know the itinerary.
Coming in raw.
Exactly. So it's been, I feel like, I mean, I haven't released a real episode since I think the end of June. So it's gonna be almost 2 months since we've had an episode.
Wow.
And I honestly, like, I needed the six weeks or whatever I took off. I needed that because I needed to regroup. But
your own personal summer vacation.
Yeah, my own personal summer vacation. But also, I was like, wow, I really do need to get back into doing the podcast because I do have so much stuff to talk about.
You love yapping.
I love to yap. The agenda, the maps for the season's episodes are extensive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I just thought we'd have a pretty low, I mean, here's the thing. Season two is really not going to be any different than season one. I'm just like calling it season two because I took a break in between. So like, why not?
Exactly.
So you can really expect the same exact thing that you've been listening to for the past 9 months or whatever.
Just better.
Just better.
And just more, better and newer.
And newer and more fresh and more funky. But I thought, yeah, like today we're just going to keep it like real Olivia Obscura style, like loose agenda, unstructured. We're going to...
Stream of consciousness.
Yeah, we're going to goof and gab and we're going to have a good time. So, Ty, do you have any like new business that you want to bring to the table? Like, do you have anything that you need to say that you've been holding on to? You need to get off your chest, off your desk?
Nope.
Okay, good.
I'm ready to get into it.
All right, well then let's get into new business then. The first thing that I obviously want to discuss with you is that we saw two movies over the weekend.
Yes.
We saw Trap,
mm-hmm.
and then we saw Twisters.
Correct.
Back to back.
Double feature, baby.
Back to back, moved from one theater to the other and watched them in that order. And I'd seen, okay, so when you are listening to this episode, listener, you will have not heard the episode that I recorded with Montana and Zach, but we did talk about Twisters in that episode too, so you can look forward to more Twisters discussion in the future, because I had seen it with Montana and Zach the week before you and I went to see it, but I actually am really glad that I've seen it twice because I really have, like, metabolized it.
Absolutely.
And I really am dying to know... Okay, let's end, because we saw Twisters second, so let's discuss Twisters second. Hi, Adam. Oh, he's so cute. Adam just jumped up on Ty's chest. I'm taking a picture so I can put it on the Instagram. That is literally so cute.
He's ridiculous.
He's being such a little baby. He loves to rub, Ty's little, like, chin.
He likes my beard hairs.
He loves it. He's so cute. I can't.
But we can't have him up on me right now.
So I first want to talk about Trap, because we were super excited for this movie. I'd been seeing trailers. You showed me this trailer right when it came out, and I was like, fuck, that looks so good. And Montana also was like, oh my god, like, that's one of the best movie trailers I've seen in a long time. And I agree, the trailer was so, so good.
It looked new and fresh and a twist on something that we've kind of seen similar before. Just kind of in reverse, where you know the killer first.
You know the killer first. Okay, so yeah. So, first of all, spoilers. If you don't want spoilers, whatever. Don't listen to this podcast. You're in the wrong place if you don't want spoilers.
I mean, they exposed that in the trailer.
What's that noise? Oh, is it outside?
It looks like they be sawing
out
there.
Or they sawing, yeah. Hey,
they be sawing.
Bitches be sawing.
Bitches be sawing in the alley.
So yeah, you're right. That's not a spoiler. But I just want to kind of put the spoiler warning out there in case we get to a spoiler.
Sure.
Because I'm gonna hash it out.
Yes. We're going to
anyway,
go through... We'll work it out in the remix.
We'll work it out in the remix. We're going to work it out in the remix. But I This was an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yes, an M. Night Shyamalan production.
And I like, those movies are really hit or miss for me.
They are.
M. Night, I liked, really the only one that I can think of that I'm like, I fucked with that movie very heavy was Split.
Yeah, so the I actually was in a decent movie discussion about this recently, and we were trying to break down why
Who are you talking to?
Flops. My dad and my sister.
Okay, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
We kind of landed on this thing that, like, M. Night really bases his movies around, like, the payoffs. And
Wait, what do you mean?
That M. Night is actually a bad director, like, overall. And that the only reason Split was so good is because James McAvoy is as good of an actor as he is. And
I mean, he sold that role.
Is as good of an actor as she is.
And I think Hayley Lou Richardson was in that as well, maybe?
She was as well, yeah.
Yeah, like, that was a great cast.
And it was a good concept. And so, we actually think M. Night sucks, but I like his movies anyway, weirdly. I don't know what it is.
And here's the thing that, I think I said this in the group chat with you in Montana, is, like, M. Night, like, the concept is always there, but I'm always left wanting, like, I think I use the term, like, thriller blue balls.
Yeah.
Like, I just kind of am always left wishing I had, like, something more.
Yeah.
Like, that was what I felt watching Trap the whole time, is that I was just always waiting for, like, the thing to happen.
And it felt like they revealed the thing in the trailer. I feel like they should have, I mean, I know that was the point, is that we knew who that he was the killer, but I wish that they would have teased that at least a little bit.
Or not even that, I just wish that something, like, I don't know, because, okay.
Something really happened.
I just wish that something really happened.
Okay, so let's go through the movie. I guess let's, like, just talk through the movie.
So, yeah, so we start off the movie with this dad. Who's the guy who plays the dad in that movie, by the way?
No clue. I don't know any of the actors in this movie.
He reminds me of, I need to look at him real quick. I need to look up the cast.
The only actual actor I knew from this entire movie was M. Night, because famously he has a feature.
Who was he?
He features himself in every movie. He was the lead girl's uncle. Remember, he goes to the uncle and he's like, hey, my daughter has leukemia. And anyway, we could be picked. That was M. Night he was talking
about. I didn't know that was M. Night.
That was M. Night. So he features himself in every movie.
What's his first name? M?
M.
Okay, cool.
I don't really know. I've never looked into it. But
that's not for us to know, actually.
It's not for me to know.
Josh Hartnett is the guy who was the actor. Yes. He's been in so many things.
And I felt he did a great job being a creepy psychopath.
He sold it. Like, I was creeped out by him. Yeah. And I thought that, like...
And he was also charming. In a way that throughout the movie, everybody told him everything and he got away with everything.
I mean, I was so... That's the other thing, is that I felt like things were working out for him way too easily. Like, okay, think about all the things that had to go right in that situation.
Okay, let's talk about it from the start. Let's just go through it.
So they get to this concert. The dad and the daughter are going to the concert. Lady Raven.
Lady Raven.
And...
Which I also learned, Lady Raven, M. Night's daughter.
That's his real daughter.
That's his real daughter.
I thought that she was good. I liked her.
She was great.
I thought that she played... I liked the character. I liked Lady Raven.
I agree.
Anyway, So basically the first... It's like an hour and 45 minute movie. It's not a very long runtime.
Perfect time, actually.
And I genuinely think that the first... What is it? Like maybe hour takes place in the arena? Like in the concert?
Maybe
and I was more. I was under the assumption based on the trailer that the entire movie start to finish would take place over the course of this concert.
I agree.
And I kind of maybe in my head was thinking like, okay, I'm gonna like... see him like plotting how to get out of like vents
in
and
real
stuff.
Time because an hour and 45 is like the length of a concert.
Exactly. And like in the trailer I think there's one part where he like goes in the bathroom stall and like looks at his phone with the person, and so then I'm like, okay, like he's gonna start like scheming like how to get... I thought that it was gonna be more of like, I don't know why, I guess I thought it was gonna be more of like a booby trap situation. Not even booby trap, but like he was gonna have to like get out. Like,
almost kind of like a spy moment where physically? He's got to plan his escape.
Or like,
I mean, they kind of did do that.
He tried to go
movie,
on the roof. You're right.
He tried to get his daughter to like jump underneath the stage.
The stage.
That was weird.
When they opened the hatch and the rapper came out of it,
out of the floor. Yeah.
I couldn't believe that they didn't close it back up right away. I was like, how is there even a chance to...
Yeah.
Like, I feel like...
Someone would have noticed these two people crawling into the ground.
Realistically, there'd be security are surrounding that.
Yeah.
So, but whatever, that's past the point. Also, I fucking wanted him to jump in there.
Yeah.
And leave his daughter.
Yep.
I, like, want... Like, okay. Sorry, I'm just, like, yapping around because I haven't talked to... I haven't, like, synthesized this movie yet. It's okay. This might be a long episode. We're only 9 minutes in, so we're making good time.
No, we're but great.
What was I... Wait, were you going to say... Because I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah,
but
so I just keep
talking, it'll come back
to
me.
Where we kind of started with that last, thought process is, like, he just... We thought it was going to be this really cool, like, he tries to plot his way out, and he executes it or doesn't execute, and he gets caught. That's kind of where my brain was going.
That's
like,
what I was thinking,
the climax of the movie, the ending of the movie is him getting caught, probably.
Yes.
But it's not. He, like, for the first, like, hour of the movie, he does kind of try to do these really weird plans to get out. And his daughter even, like, acknowledges that the plans are really weird. She's like, you're acting weird.
Because he was acting weird.
Because he was acting weird, yeah.
And I was like... And to me, it, like, kept getting repetitive.
It got too repetitive.
He kept trying, like, yeah. And also...
But it didn't show him, like, plotting to get out. It showed him, like, trying to get out with his daughter and make it look natural. But it didn't look natural.
It didn't look natural.
And they kind of, like, called to that in a way that was interesting. But I don't know. It felt just, like, very M. Night, just very drawn out with no real, like, payoff for those moments.
Exactly.
You know, it was kind of like, and then at the end, he got out by, like, revealing himself and being like, I am the killer, and if you don't let me out, I'm going to kill this person.
And with Lady, like, Raven in the bathroom.
Yeah, and it was like, then why did you even try to sneak out if you're just going to, like, tell her that it's you and then get out anyway?
Well, I think maybe that, like, I don't actually mind that, because I think that someone who's crazy like that would not be in a good headspace. Like, I think that someone who's crazy like that would do something that doesn't make sense.
That's my point, though, is that, like, why did he try all the ways that do make sense then?
Yeah, that's true. And can we go back to the ways? Because here's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Everything, let's go through all of the things he tried to do.
Yes.
One, because things worked out for him so well.
Yeah.
This was the luckiest guy ever, actually, to a way where I was like, it was giving Lifetime movie.
It was, a little bit, yeah.
It was, like, and maybe...
the plot details were giving Lifetime
movie. But unfortunately, I've seen Lifetime movies that had me on the edge of my seat more than that
one. Yeah.
Like, I will say that Stuck by My Doctor slayed harder than Trap.
It slayed
and
harder,
And
yeah.
I'll be on the record as saying that, unfortunately, yeah.
Put
but...
me down.
Anyway.
You got two.
So, first things first. He went with the t-shirt guy down to the storage room.
Yeah, and he stole his key card.
How would the guy have ever... I can't... Okay, I mean, the way that the guy let him come down there anyway, to me seemed unrealistic, whatever, given the benefit of the doubt.
Sure.
Then, he steals his key card. Then does he go upstairs? No. And then he goes... Then he goes into the snack bar.
Yes,
and he
where
makes the
all
oil
the police
explode.
Were there. No. So remember,
he
stole
the key card,
and he goes into, like, this room to try to find a way
where
out.
Where the profiler lady is and all the cops are.
And the cops are, like, detailing who they're looking for and, like, what to look for. So
and he just happened to walk in at that specific time.
Exactly, yeah. And then he stayed, and none of the cops were like, hey, what are you doing here?
But, like, the guy where he was standing, the guy who was addressing the group would have seen him walk in, and you'd think he would have been like, hey, who are you? Like, this is a confidential meeting or whatever. I just could not believe that he kept getting away with shit.
So he, like, snuck through the crowd with, like, the key card attached to his, like, shirt.
With his shirt.
Which, that gave me some issues anyways, too, because everybody else that was working there was in uniform. He was, like, the only
person. He was in street clothes.
He was in street clothes. And so you'd think they would have stopped him and been like, hey, can I see that key card? Or anything, because he was the only person that had a key card that, like, was in street clothes.
I would just think with, like, that level of police presence, I'm like, why is he getting away with this? Like,
and then he knew some weird details, too, because he went to get coffee, and the guy was like, hey, do you know, like, one of the cops, like, stopped him and, like, was
hey, where do you keep the sugar?
And he, like, knew where the sugar was, which is, like, you don't work here, how do you know that?
Right.
There was just weird, messy details like that that, like, drew me out of it. But
and
yeah,
then,
so that was his first attempt to try to find a way out.
On the way out of the room with the police officers, then he snagged a walkie-talkie.
He snagged a radio.
Yeah,
walkie, yeah.
Girl, how are you getting away? Like, what's going on? Like, how...
Yeah.
And then things just keep working out for him even more. Because then he goes to... Then he goes to the snack bar, right?
Well, so then he goes back to the floor. And I think that the rapper is next.
Oh, when he wants
to
go down
the
hatch.
And the rapper kind of rises out of the ground, like classic concert, you know?
Yeah, like Taylor Swift and Don't Blame Me.
Like Taylor Swift and Don't Blame Me.
Right.
Rises out of the ground, and the rapper walks down the stairs, and there's, like, this little, like, revealed area where you can jump underneath, like, the elevated stairs that goes to this weird platform underneath. And he turns to his daughter, and he's like, hey, what if we go sneak down there and
check
it out?
It would be fun. Let's see if there's costumes and stuff down there.
Yeah, what if
Bitch,
we go,
what
like, take
fuck?
A peek?
And the daughter was like, huh?
Yeah, like, she was like, I'm not going to jump down into a random hole. I'm at a concert.
Right.
And it made no sense at all. And it was, like, really obscure. But,
Who was Josh Hartnett in Oppenheimer?
I don't know.
Because that's what he's credited as. I don't
no
know.
No clue. I there were a million people in Oppenheimer, so I wouldn't be able to tell you.
That's so true.
But yeah, so anyways, he like gets back to, he like tries to convince her to jump into a hole in the ground, and she's like, no, I'm not gonna jump into this hole in the ground, Dad. You're acting weird. Right. Why are you acting weird?
And she keeps saying that.
She keeps saying
you're acting
that
weird, you're acting
through
weird.
The whole movie, like to the point where they actually get back to their house, which we'll get to.
And she's like,
She tells her mom, like,
the first
hey,
thing
dad's
is like,
weird.
Dad's acting weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he tries to jump into this hole in the ground. And I'm
he doesn't
gonna,
try. He suggests it. And then,
yeah.
And then it closes and he goes, okay, my window of opportunity.
Yeah.
I think the whole time
he's listening to the radio and hearing the cops and the profiler like talk about who they're profiling, which again, like, how are you that lucky, right place, right time?
Exactly.
Like, I feel like the profiler wouldn't be repeating the profile of the person they're looking for on the radio.
Right.
In fear that the super smart person would figure it out.
Okay, can I actually be crazy for a second?
Be crazy.
I think that he should have jumped into the hatch and gone underneath the stage. Like, that to me would have been exciting, and then he's trying to figure out underneath the stage, whatever, whatever. And then it comes back around to a callback where, who's the guy who split? What's the guy's name? James McAvoy.
Yeah.
Whatever his character is.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't he live underneath the zoo in all these tunnels?
Yeah.
I want underneath the stage to be underneath the zoo. It connects to underneath the zoo.
Mm.
In the tunnels.
They were both in Philadelphia.
Would that not have been crazy?
Yeah, I think they were at the same zoo. And actually, you know what I think?
The
I think
zoo?
The lion, remember the like broken lion?
What broken lion? Oh, at the zoo.
I think that that was a callback, remember? Because they found the broken lion. That's how they found the guy that was trapped.
You're right.
I think that was a callback to Split, that reference. So I think Broken Lion might be like a famous Philadelphia landmark or something like that.
You're right, dude.
Because
I'm pretty sure that was
a callback, but... That's a separate thing. We'll get to that in a second. So
yeah, sorry, I had to go off the rails.
There was something
for a second
that happened after the tunnel recommendation that like also kind of pissed me off about the movie. The more I thought about it,
talk to me.
The weird mom of the friend.
Oh, Jody's mom.
Yeah. So the story goes
the point of that whole thing?
That's what I was gonna say. So there's this weird like character that they keep referencing every time he goes to try to find a way out. He runs into this girl. Who's the mom of
one of the daughter's classmates.
The daughter's friends.
Ex-friends.
Yeah, like,
well,
there's a falling
like,
out that they, like, describe, and, like...
They're, like, 12.
Yeah, like, they're, like, yeah,
they're
12, 15.
They're being mean to her. It's two
kids.
Friends who are being mean to the daughter.
Yeah, but they keep showing the mom of the kid talking to the dad of the kid.
Cooper.
They keep showing Jody and Cooper talking?
Jody's mom. I don't know her name.
Yeah, I don't know her name.
But she kept
either.
Referencing Jody as the kid.
Yes, so, but it was really weird because they kept having them interact.
For no pay.
When he was trying to escape only. And then the only, like, payoff for that whole storyline was that eventually the daughter gets to go on the stage.
And then
the
Jody's
kid gets
pissed.
Mad.
Yeah.
But, like, that's where it ends. What was the point of that storyline?
What was the point
like,
of the altercation?
They don't. I mean, ever reference that after that moment
I think it's
happens.
Because they had to set it up as a reason as to why the dad and daughter were at the concert together. But they could have left that out, and I would have never questioned a dad taking his daughter to a concert alone.
No, the kid was clearly like a Lady Raven fan. She like
she's like 12.
Makes that
like,
out
you
through
have,
the whole movie.
You
They're
have
singing
to go,
Lady Raven on the way there. She's wearing a Lady Raven shirt.
When you're 12, you have to go to a concert with your parents. That's how it works. Like,
yeah.
I would have never thought it was weird that she was going alone with her dad. That's
no.
what you do when
and
you're
And so
12.
There was this whole extra plot line about, like, her having this fallout with a friend. And, like, it
and
didn't
it kind of
need
went
to
nowhere.
Happen. It went nowhere. Yeah, the whole, like, plot line just kind of, like, was like, okay, and that happened. And then it didn't reference back at all. And so it was, like, really odd, but, like, whatever. So, yeah, one of the ways, the next way that he tries to escape, I think, is...
The most unrealistic.
The roof. So I think the roof comes after that.
No, the roof happened because he exploded the oil in the kitchen.
Yeah, but that's what I was getting
and
to.
Then
is
he
that,
went
that
upstairs.
He wasn't. He didn't explode the oil to get out through the kitchen. He like.
He did
so,
that as
yeah,
a diversion.
So what he did.
He wanted to
he
divert
wanted
attention,
to get to the
right?
roof because he had the key card now.
You're right.
So he looked at the roof entrance and there were two cops there, but it was right next to like a concession stand. So he throws on a. apron, which there wouldn't just be an apron sitting around.
Yeah, he just like grabs an apron from right behind the counter. Stuff was just working out too well for him.
Yeah. And he was just right place, right time for everything. Yeah.
Come on.
You're going to hear all that.
I'm sorry. I'm wiping down the microphone because it was dusty.
I don't know why you're choosing right now while we're recording to do that.
Because I was looking at it and it was dusty. I'm so sorry. Okay. Whatever. Everyone knows this is a low production value production. A low production value production.
Yes.
Say it. Maybe a low value production would have been the easier way to say that.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I feel like going. I need to start over about the roof thing because you're wiping it down and I feel like it's going to not like blow my audio out.
Okay. Start over then.
Okay, so he saw the door to the roof, and he saw the cops there, and he needed a distraction, and he was next to a concession stand. So he stole an apron, which mysteriously was there, just like found an apron, and dropped these giant glasses of oil.
Of cooking oil, and turned up the heat really high.
Yeah. And
walked and swiped a card and went up to the roof. Yeah. No, 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 he went to the roof after... The girl got hurt.
Exactly. That's what I was getting at. So he dropped the oil in and then left. And this girl, like, leaned over the oil to look inside what was, like, in the oil thing. And it was more oil. And then it blew up.
The glass broke. It blew up.
And it, like, blew hot oil and glass all over her. And she got super hurt.
Fucked up.
And so the police ran to check her out. And then that's when he went on the roof. So that was the next escape attempt. He was trying to see if there was a way from the roof. Which,
and then he
again,
the roof and there were
what
more...
are you going to do with your daughter?
Right!
How are you going to convince your daughter to go to the roof? Or are you just going to leave your daughter there? Because that looks mad suspicious, too.
No, I honestly think that if I was him, I would have left my daughter there.
How does he explain leaving his daughter there? Then his daughter goes to the police that are everywhere and goes, I can't find my dad.
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
And they're like, oh, a man described, you know, that matches the description snuck out.
That's why I'm not a serial killer, is because I don't think of this stuff. You're
yeah,
right, you're
so
right.
It was just weird because it's like, what are you going to do? Zip line off the roof with your daughter?
But then he went upstairs to the roof. He knew the code because the t-shirt guy had told it to him. They told him
which
the code
again,
word.
Convenient.
Convenient that this guy told him all that shit, which I thought that was one of the, like, I actually really enjoyed the, like, post-credit scene. Or was it post-credit
yeah.
scene? Or was it... Yeah, where the t-shirt guy was like, fuck, like, I told this guy everything.
Yeah,
like,
they, like,
I'm never talking
at the
to
end.
Anyone at work ever again.
Yeah,
and
they
I'm like,
reveal
that's
at
funny.
The end that this guy, like, talked to a serial killer at work. It was funny, yeah.
I like that. I like the t-shirt guy. I wanted more of him.
But I'm like, but, it was funny for too many parts. I wish they would have, like, leaned into it being funny more. If they weren't going to, like,
it was a
give
goofy-ass
us the
concept.
Drama payoff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. The roof was the next attempt. He gets, like, caught by SWAT and, like, knows the secret passcode, which
he pretends he's like, I just came up here for some fresh air. One of my coworkers just got hurt. I'm,
yeah.
You know, I came up here to, like, decompress or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were suspicious and they were like, what's the code? And he gave it to them and they were like, okay.
And so he just goes back to concert.
And he happened to have, here's another thing that worked out for him. He happened to have some guy's wallet that was left in the apron that had the identification
yeah.
card that he
yeah.
needed to show the cops.
Yes.
What the fuck? Like, everything... I was like, this would never happen.
Yeah.
This guy's ass would have been...
Nothing.
Dead.
Gone. Caught.
And then,
so
okay,
soon.
Well, and we've not even reached the point where he makes up the whole story about how she has leukemia, or had leukemia.
Yeah, so that's the next
week. And they
week
get
he tries,
caught up
yeah.
on stage. It's like that... How did you bank on that happening? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, so he goes... So that part, he goes back to the concert and joins his daughter again.
He goes
and his
and
daughter
to...
is like, you can... We actually... We left out another way he tries to get out.
What?
So remember there was a break in between the concert and they were changing sets?
Yeah, which does that happen? I've never been to a concert where they just like
I mean,
intermission halfway.
There's not an intermission. Like, I've seen them change sets, but like...
You
we
stay
went
there.
To the Eras tour, like, the set changed.
The set changed
on
and it was
stage,
part... And you watched it.
And you sat there.
It was part
and
of
it
the
changed
story.
In like 10 minutes, maybe, max.
The one that was long was the one where she was in the box during the
yeah.
red set. That was like
yeah.
the longest one.
And... That was fast.
That was fast.
It was not an intermission.
I've never
whatever.
Like been to a concert where
so
they're like
this
everyone
weird
leaves.
Intermission way before all those other attempts. I think this was actually his first attempt when they go originally and look for the t-shirt. So he goes and he sees this girl who's like clearly like drunk standing by the stairs.
You're right.
And he like walks over in the middle of the crowd and like pushes her down the stairs. And then he was like to the crowd. He was like, "Oh, she's drunk and she fell." And the police came over to help her out. And then he was like, oh, hey, what if we sneak out of the concert?
What if we go outside?
Yeah. And it's like,
why?
We're at the concert and the show's about to start again. Why would we go out?
And the daughter said that.
Daughter's like, you're weird. What are you doing? And then cops showed up and blocked the door. And then all that other stuff happened after that.
Right.
That was his first attempt out, though, was pushing that lady down the stairs.
You're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I just thought the whole thing, I was kind of like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, just... kept having these weird things that he would do and somehow not get caught.
Yeah, and then there was also a lot, which I get they had to make it obvious that they were at the concert, but I was kind of like, we could have shaved 20 minutes off of this movie if I didn't have to hear Lady Raven's numbers, you know what I mean? Like, dance numbers.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But then if you would have shaved more time off, the movie would have been 45 minutes long.
Correct.
So, anyway, this whole plot line is just odd, but eventually the way that they actually get out is that he goes up to some guy who's working at the concert, and he says, hey...
He's, like, by the sound finds booth, out kind that of, like, he has, like, a crew name.
Yeah, and he finds... So, the guy, Cooper, finds out that there is a point in the concert where Lady Raven, just like the Eras Tour, picks somebody to come up to the stage, like the hat.
It's like the 22 hat.
Yeah. It's exactly like that. And so she goes, the daughter's like, I want to be the dreamer girl. I want
to
be the dreamer girl.
I hope I get picked to be the dreamer girl.
I get picked. Exactly.
And he immediately U-turns.
Runs, finds the guy that works there, and he's like, hey, you see my daughter? She had leukemia, and she loves Lady Raven. She wants to be...
Have been really hard for her. He never says it. He just really suggests it.
He's like, I really want to thank Lady Raven and her team for, meaning so much to my kid.
And it's like, oh, and you know her? And he's like... And this guy, again, just happened to be like, oh, yeah, I'm her uncle, so I'm her mother's brother.
And that was M. Night.
Bitch, what the fuck? Like, how would... Yeah. What?
And I did kind of like that they made M. Night's daughter's uncle.
Uncle, like,
they were like family related in a way that was kind of cheeky too. Again, they should have been cheeky with the whole movie instead of drama.
Either be serious or be goofy.
Exactly, pick a lane.
But it was like,
and so
too goofy to be serious, but too serious to be goofy.
Yeah, it was a weird, and neither worked because of it. But yeah, so because of this weird leukemia story, she gets picked to be the dreamer girl, and she gets a backstage pass because they said the only place that didn't have security was backstage. The only place that didn't have police.
You're right, and that's the only entrance that you can... The exit, backstage exit is the only way you can... That's not
that
being
doesn't have
guarded with, like,
coverage.
The SWAT team. Which,
funny, it did, in the end, have a police checkpoint at it the did. Backstage exit. So, I don't know, again, a weird plot point that didn't work.
Yeah.
But, so he... She gets on stage, gets to be the dreamer girl, and that's when the payoff for the Jody thing happens, where it's like, it shows like the kid that was being mean to her, like throwing a fit with her mom.
Because she didn't get picked.
Because she didn't get picked as the dreamer girl, or because the girl she was picking on did get picked. Whatever it wasn't worth the amount of time that they built that.
Yes, exactly. I agree 100%.
Like, again, it was funny because she was like, you're being such a little brat, and the like... movie theater laughed because it was a funny moment, but then it went back to being serious and it didn't have any payoff in the story.
Right.
Just weird. Just so weird all the way through. But then it was backstage, and then he like helped some girl from passing out to like sneak past the cops so that he could like win Lady Raven's team over even more. And then he went, and then the concert ended, and they go underground.
And they go... No, Lady Raven comes backstage, and she's talking.
Yeah.
To Lady Raven. And they give... And here's the other thing, is that they were getting the special treatment, obviously, because, like, she allegedly had leukemia, which he made up, right?
He made up.
100%. How, at no point during that, did no one say something, like, to the kid? Like, Lady Raven, or the stagehand, or whoever was handling her, was like... Oh, like, you've been through so much, or something. Like, something to allude... To the fact...
There was so much... He did say that. So when he first went up to
M. Night's... To the daughter.
No, when he first went up to M. Night's character, he was like, she survived leukemia and she doesn't want anyone to know because she doesn't want to be the cancer girl.
Got it. Yeah. Okay, so that makes sense. So he did cover
saying,
he did cover that.
She doesn't want anyone to know. So if they were like, oh, our dreamer girl tonight survived leukemia, that would have broke it. So he kind of pre-planned that. But again, I agree still that it's still shocking that nobody said anything, especially when it was like, just Lady Raven and her.
Yeah.
That she wasn't like, your dad told me what you went through, and that was so brave. Or something small like that.
Something like that. And then what I thought would have been really cool, what they could do with that then, is if the daughter... Because she knew something was weird, but I kind of wanted her to realize, my dad's the one they're looking for.
Well, she didn't know that they were looking for him. Remember? He only knows that the police
were
looking
because
of
the t-shirt guy told him.
And that is weird that he told them.
That's so true.
So the whole thing kind of just falls apart as soon as you think about any of the things that happened before that.
If the dominoes hadn't fallen exactly how they did, like, nothing would have
worked.
Which I know that's the point of a movie. It's fiction.
But it wasn't given. All of the things were too much of a, like, lucky situation.
Yes.
It had to have fallen through. There's no universe where this many things work out for this
guy. At no point was there a snafu.
It's not even that he's being smart by them working out. He's being lucky with all these things working out.
Exactly. He didn't, like, mastermind and calculate his way through this. He was just, like, winging shit, and it just kept working.
Yeah.
And I'm like, huh? Like, how are you in the limo now going home? Like,
with
all of
the
this
most,
is
like,
weird.
Amount of security and SWAT teams surrounding the whole place and investigating everyone. How did he not get, like, one thing not work out, you know? It's just too far-fetched.
But that's why
the extremity of it being, like, funny would have worked out if they would have gone that direction. Because it
made
was
it
kind of extreme and campy. Lean into that. Don't try to be serious like he's actually some genius.
If you're gonna give me, like...
He wasn't smart. He was just lucky the whole time.
Exactly. And so whatever. Like, anyway, that's kind of what happened in the movie. At the end, he gets out. He gets put in the prisoner transport.
Okay,
and
so we skipped a huge chunk.
I mean,
so
we skipped the whole part where he brings her home.
Yeah,
and
but, like, let's just at least touch that. So, like, he went downstairs. They talked to Lady Raven. He's somehow next to the security office, which they're leaving open so he can hear everything that's going on and how they're trying to catch him.
Yeah, the profiler FBI lady is talking to, like, that was so crazy
that
he could
so
just
crazy.
Overhear all of
and
that.
And so he goes in and he says, "I want to talk to Lady Raven one-on-one," and because they think it's the cancer kid dad, they let him. And he goes,
they go into their dressing room, closes the door.
He reveals that he's the butcher.
Because Lady Raven knew who they were looking for, and she
exactly.
was in on it.
She planned the concert around this, finding this guy. And so he goes, "I'm the guy, and if you say anything, I'm gonna kill the guy I have currently trapped."
Yeah.
And shows her the footage of the guy trapped.
Pulls up the live feed of the camera.
And so,
and says,
"If
you say anything, I will press this button right now that will release carbon monoxide,
and
he'll be dead in 5 minutes."
Yeah,
and
it'll be your fault.
It'll be your fault. Yeah,
and
yeah.
And he said, "What we're gonna do is you're gonna give us a ride in your limo so that security doesn't stop us." And they do it. And she goes, "Okay." And they get in the limo, and he's like, "You're gonna drop us off outside." And then Lady Raven goes to the kid, "Hey, what if I go to your house? What if I check out your room? Don't you want that?" And the kid, like, begs the Cooper, and then they do it. They go to the butcher's house. And then there's, like, 30 minutes of just weird, like, no payoff dialogue.
Stilted conversation in the living room where they're eating food, and then she plays the song on the piano.
And you can tell the whole time he was trying to make that whole thing tense.
Yes.
But the dialogue was so weird, it didn't feel tense at all.
It was just, everything about it was weird.
It's just weird. And the kid, like, kept making references to, like, the... how weird he was being to the mom and the son, the other
little
kid.
Brother. Yeah.
And so that was kind of like 30 minutes of nothing. And then it actually picks up for like the last 15 minutes of the movie. So she like steals his phone.
It got good when,
yeah,
for
when
a
it,
second
when
there.
It actually like had something
when
happen.
There was moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's why it was so Lifetime-y because in Lifetime movies, as
they
we
rush
know,
it through the last 15
the
minutes.
The last 15 minutes, like everything fucking happens and like everything. Yeah. So that's, I like that part.
So they rush through it. Let's rush through it. I'm just going to fire it off. Okay. She steals his phone. She goes on a live stream on her Instagram and says, "Help me figure this
out." She goes into the bathroom and he's pounding on the door. "Let me in, let me in, let me in."
Yeah.
The family's freaking out. They're like, "Dad, you're being so weird. Calm down. You're scaring the kids. Blah, blah, blah." He's freaking out.
He's
trying to pound the door.
He's freaking out because she has the phone. She somehow knows his passcode to the app.
Did she watch him do it before? That's just weird. That would never happen.
It would
never happen.
She wouldn't know the passcode to the phone and the passcode to the video app that shows the guy that's being trapped.
A fucking serial killer would have that shit, like,
locked down. Locked the fuck down.
If you were a real fucking good serial killer, you'd have a separate phone that you do all your serial killer shit on.
You'd hide the app.
You wouldn't even
have
that app on your personal phone.
100%.
Like, that's the truth right there.
100%. So it was very, another far-fetched thing. But she steals the phone. She goes on live stream. They somehow, on live stream, figure out where he's being held, where the victim is being held by the butcher. I don't know how. It's, like, so far-fetched. Somebody goes to the house and lets him out. Again, you'd think that the serial killer would have that house locked with a bolt lock. People wouldn't be able to just sneak in and
I
want to
know how
out.
That happened. How did they manage to get him out? Show
because
me that.
They don't show it. They just jump. That could have been an interesting part of the movie, but they just, like,
you're making
let it happen off screen.
You're having, as the viewer of this movie, you're having to accept so many things just because.
Blindly.
Correct.
And so we don't even know that he gets revealed until eventually Cooper gets into the bathroom. He has a key. He unlocks the bathroom and he takes his phone back. He opens the phone and the guy got out. It just wouldn't happen that quickly. There's just no way. So he can't kill him anymore. And like things are starting to crumble for him. And he says to Lady Raven, like, come, you're coming with me because like you're screwed. And Lady Raven got the police called to the house. And so he goes to escape with Lady Raven, and then he starts to freak out because his kids have finally realized he is the butcher. And they, like, block him from getting out, and Lady Raven escapes. And then the police get called, but somehow he sneaks out again. Remember, there's a weird tunnel.
He sneaks out through the pantry. There's a tunnel in the pantry
that goes to the neighbors. He sneaks out. But then he disguises himself as a SWAT officer.
How did he get the SWAT officer outfit? Like, where did he get all of that fucking shit? He had a bulletproof vest on and a helmet. How did he get all that stuff?
He disguises himself as a SWAT officer. I'm just going to rapid fire through the rest of the movie because it happened so fast. He gets a SWAT officer outfit. He gets in the limo and steals Lady Raven again. Like, how would they not notice? So then they go to this crowd and they're, like, in traffic. And she realizes...
They're like downtown, right?
They're like downtown, there's traffic, and she realizes that the SWAT officer is Cooper.
And so her hands are zip-tied, but she can somehow reach the lever on the window to pull the window down.
Yeah.
And she calls out to this crowd of people, and she's like, help me, help me. And they're like, oh my gosh, it's that Lady Raven.
Yeah.
And then they pull her out of the car. They get her out of the car,
and he conveniently had... Lady Raven merch stacked next to him in the driver's seat, changes out of SWAT uniform and into Lady Raven merch.
In the driver's seat of a car, bitch? It's hard to change in a car.
Find stuff to prop his SWAT uniform up with.
So it looks like there's a police officer in the driver's seat.
The police come and they shoot the car and the car doesn't have anyone in it. And he escaped again.
Like, how is he doing this?
And then he goes back to the house. Would you think the police would be there waiting for him? And they weren't.
They were all at the concert. And
the supposed big payoff of all of that happening is that it's then revealed when he goes back to the house that
the wife knew all along
she had a suspicion. The butcher.
She's the one who gave the tip that he was going to be at the concert because she found the receipt.
She set up the concert.
I like that.
I thought they did a good job explaining it. Why did they not explain that earlier?
I wanted them to flesh that out more. I wanted more about the wife.
She acted like she didn't know that he was the butcher when they came back with Lady Raven, but she worked with Lady Raven to set it up.
No, the wife didn't do that.
The wife told the cops about the concert, and that's why the concert happened. She told the cops about the suspicion.
The concert was happening first because he had to buy the ticket for it.
What I really don't understand is she left the receipt.
He left the receipt.
And called the cops.
She found the receipt that he had left. She tore it to make it look like a mistake and planted it in the serial killer house. Where he had the property. But at that point,
why did she not tell the cops, I think my husband might be the...
I don't think she told them
that how did the cops see that ticket? She had to have tipped the cops off of where the house was.
You're fucking right.
So how did the cops not then put it together that, like, why did she not just tell the cops, I think my husband might be the butcher, instead of sending her husband, which she suspects being a serial killer, with her daughter into a militarized concert? That seems way more dangerous. So, like, that whole plotline doesn't even make sense, even though it's interesting.
Yeah, and here's the thing. What I would like is I want the real story here is them setting that whole thing up.
Yeah.
That's the story. That's it.
There could have been the whole lead up of them knowing all this information and then us watching him walk into it.
Totally.
That would have been more interesting.
I would have loved that.
What they did.
And maybe I am kind of like, I do fuck with like forensics like pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if it's just me, but I was super into that old lady who was like really like a professional profiler. Mm-hmm. I was like, give me more of her. Like, that's fucking interesting.
It was giving Sweets and Bones.
Okay.
All my bones heads out there will know that reference. Anyways. So the weird, like, payoff of this movie is that she knows, she figures out his stash of drugs and drugs him, and then the police catch him because he's drugged and he tries to escape.
She drugged the pie!
She drugged the pie.
Dude, it was fucking crazy. And then he breaks out of his cuffs in the prisoner transport. Yeah, and then it ends the movie with him, like, sinisterly grinning. He looks up, grinning like the devil. And then it cuts.
Well, and then it cuts. If we know anything about M. Night and how he treated Split, there's going to be some weird other thing that references back to this. And they're going to do a trilogy. Or,
I was going to say, he set it up to perfectly be something else.
The guy escapes again.
100%.
There's going to be something that happens next.
But yeah, I thought that you were like, you had to give a lot of stuff the benefit of the doubt to be able to watch this movie and enjoy it. Like,
and the whole time, you
cannot think.
No.
If you're thinking about watching Trap and having a single thought during it, don't.
Which, that we're analyzing it, it sucked.
We cannot.
But watching it, I left the theater and I enjoyed it. Like, all in all, like, it was a silly, goofy movie and it wasn't the best movie of the year. I had a good time. Like, I thought it was fun in some parts, and
I liked it.
Laughed in some parts, and I was like, oh, that was a good plot twist in some parts.
And I would have watched the hell out of it on stream.
Oh, yeah. I think I wouldn't have paid as much as we did for a theater for it.
Well, we got 25% off for the matinee.
We got matinee. That's true.
But I think that, I just was, like, wanting, like, more of, like, at no point during that was I, like, thrilled.
And
I love a thriller.
And sitting here and chatting for 30 minutes, we came up with so many better plot lines that could have gone into what he already had.
If anyone has a direct line to M. Night Shyamalan, please let him know that we have ideas. Us in touch.
Okay, and that is the overall
thing. We need a Trap 2 and we need Redemption Round.
One touch on M. Night, I learned from having this conversation with my dad. I found out that The Sixth Sense, that was his first, like, big movie. And, spoiler alert for a 20-year-old movie, I see dead people, right?
Totally.
Bruce Willis is dead the whole time. I found out that in an interview with M. Night, he said that that plot line was an accident. So his most well-known movie that made him famous... He was like, what if Bruce Willis was dead the whole time? And they laughed, and then they were like, wait. And then they made it, and then it worked. And so writers wrote the movie better than him. The movie that he had written was just about this guy who was a forensic, like, who was, like, taking care of this kid. And then the kid can see ghosts, but Bruce Willis wasn't dead. And so they changed it last minute, which, like, I heard that and went, okay, so that means that, like, M. Night sucks.
Because he didn't write the movie.
Because the things that make his movies interesting, somebody else does. If it's up to him, he would have had a more boring movie.
Yeah, dude.
And so I'm like, he just needs some decent writers to come in and proofread and make small changes to what he already has, because he has the concepts.
The concepts
are pretty good.
Yeah, dude.
Almost always. Signs was fantastic. You know, I thought, like, the concept behind a lot of his, like, creepy movies are really interesting.
I was, like, stoked. The one that I was, like, freaking stoked for was The Beach That Makes You Old, but the movie itself did not do it. Oh, is that what it's called?
It's called Old.
We watched it sitting in this room.
And again,
and I was
interesting,
like,
concept.
What the fuck is this movie?
They almost did a good job.
That's the thing, is, like, it was almost so.
Yeah.
They almost got it.
Almost.
And that's what I feel. And the thing
and then
is,
it was,
like,
a letdown.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was Trap. I love talking about that for a full 40 minutes.
Yep. So we left the theater and we were like, that was a movie.
That was a movie. And then
let's sneak into Twisters.
And I was stoked because we were going to Twisters. Mm. Anyway, so what were your thoughts on Twisters?
Overall thoughts on Twisters, 10 out of 10, would recommend to anyone you love.
It's a perfect movie.
Perfect movie.
It's a perfect movie.
Yep.
If you feel it, chase it.
And or in this case, ride it.
Ride it. So yeah, like, Twister's obviously fucked. Like,
oh, it was outstanding.
It was like such a good watch.
So I'm not gonna talk about the original Twister movie because you haven't seen it yet.
We're
saving that one until it comes to streaming, and then we're gonna do an at-home double feature
of the
first Twister
and then
Twisters.
We're saving the original Twister until Twisters come
out.
Now,
what
streaming.
I can say about having seen the original Twister, this was a mwah, perfect homage to the 1990s Twister. Perfect. It was like, it had a couple of references to the original, but it was its own thing, which is how you do a sequel. That was the perfect sequel. In my opinion, fuck anyone who thinks The Godfather is the perfect sequel.
What is The Godfather a sequel to?
Godfather. It's Godfather 2 is, like, supposedly the best sequel in the world. Is like what every film buff bro is gonna say. But
I have
Twisters
never seen The Godfather off of principle.
Was the best sequel I've ever seen, in my humble and dumb opinion.
In your humble O?
How about you? What did you think of Twisters?
I love Twisters. I had never seen the original, but I was absolutely going to have my ass sat for the remake because I saw Glenn Powell was in it, and I said, perfect.
Say less.
Like, I just fuck heavy with Glenn Powell.
Yep.
And I have famously since Hidden Figures.
Mm-hmm.
which was like kind of his first role, I think.
I have no idea.
Have you seen Hidden Figures?
Nope.
Oh my god, it's a beautiful movie.
That's the one where the women do math
for the moon and Glenn Powell plays John Glenn.
Women do math for space.
The astronaut.
That's awesome.
And I just remember like it was such an endearing role and it endeared me to him forever. You're doing the smile, the capybara smile. Anyway.
He is like such a funny little small smile. I love him so much.
So, yeah, I just like loved it. I thought that it was like, it was a thriller. Like, that one was a thriller. Like, I loved, they gave us tornadoes. Like, I went to that movie and I wanted tornadoes and by golly, did they fucking deliver.
They didn't fuck up the CGI. It didn't look stupid. That's the best thing about it.
It didn't look stupid.
The tornadoes looked good. I was so worried about that because tornadoes in like storm movies sometimes just look so freaking goofy. And when you watch the original Twister...
I've never seen a real tornado, so I don't know what to compare it to.
Well, yeah, but when you see the original Twister, you'll go, this is goofy.
Okay.
Because it's 1990 CGI. There's like a flying cow that's like a joke in part of the movie.
I heard about the cow.
The cow is hilarious. But it's bad CGI because it's the 90s.
The way that these people were getting sucked up into the tornadoes was funny.
It was funny, but that was even like, it wasn't like, it didn't look goofy, but it was funny because it was kind of just like,
shocking to have people sucked up into the
sky. You don't see people get sucked into the sky every day. So it's like, anytime you do, it's kind of funny.
I had to giggle.
You know, but like, you know, thoughts and prayers for all the people out there who get sucked into tornadoes.
No, and we're not making light of tornadoes.
No, tornado damage. I lived in Ohio. I've experienced the tornado culture, and it's scary. It's very scary. We had a tornado once land on our street in Ohio, and it like messed up the tree in our front yard. It wasn't a bad one, but like, I remember we had to like hide in the basement with like a battery powered radio and the power went out. Like, it's scary. It's very scary sometimes.
That is spooky.
But this was just good action thriller summer. It was a perfect summer movie.
I agree with you 100%.
They picked the perfect music. It was so like Oklahoma country back roads.
I liked the soundtrack.
I really liked it. You know me, I don't fuck with country usually.
But had to.
It was so enjoyable and it was very Oklahoma. Flat.
Ain't no love in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
What?
The truck was hilarious with the tornado with the horns on it. Where he's like the tornado wrangler. Yeah, it was perfect movie.
I fucking loved it.
I have no notes. There's not one thing I would change.
Literally me neither. Literally
I can't
me
think
neither.
Of one. The dialogue was perfect.
They had good
chemistry. It was an interesting story.
The streets are saying that they didn't have chemistry.
Oh, I don't believe them for one second. I think they had chemistry. Her finding out that he's, like, smart and went to school for meteorology and the respect that it built and then him wanting to help her back, I felt so much chemistry.
I did too.
I get so frustrated because people think chemistry is, like, well, have to stick their tongue down each other's
100%.
Throats. 100%. And it's like, no. Absolutely not.
It's like, did you watch the movie and, like, do you have critical thinking
skills?
Those
are the same people that thought the sink scene, the kitchen scene in Anyone But You was, like, the hottest thing ever.
So
we just watched that as well.
You just watched that for the first time recently, but...
And it was, like, that was a pretty fucking mild scene, so people don't know what they're talking
about. People don't get it.
That movie had chemistry.
I think that, rise in, like, smut literature and, like, how... Well, you're not, like... But, like, for women specifically,
I'm familiar with it, though.
Straight up, like... porn books is like what's the thing
I listen to Brittany Brisky
and
that girl loves her smut
and that is like ruining people's ability to like decipher
subtle chemistry
and tension without like fucking. I'm like, you guys are brain rotted.
They can't
like
detach it from it being sexual.
100%
explicitly sexual.
I loved when like he had spent the night at the mom's house and then he was getting in his truck to go home in the rain and she ran out in the rain and was like, so you told me you could get the new model going. I was like,
it was
that's
giving,
like good. Like,
it was
that's like
giving,
good.
Yeah,
stuff.
It was really giving like the tornado version of like the Notebook.
Well, yeah. And here's
in
the
that,
other
like,
thing.
Rain scene.
They didn't like it was a movie about tornadoes. I didn't need them to be in love.
No,
I actually love the fact that she just kind of like wanted to hang out with tornadoes.
Well, and
kind of didn't give a fuck. Both of these men were like falling at her feet, and she was like,
yeah.
"I'm trying to get this tornado.
I'm trying to get information to help people."
That.
Yeah.
That's the bitch. Her only personality was tornadoes.
Let her be a philanthropist.
Literally. Yeah. Like,
I like that there was never a kiss scene, too. I agree with you on that one.
I liked it. And
they apparently shot one, but there wasn't one included. What you said.
Can I show it to you
now? Yeah, I'd love to. Okay, can I go over... One thing that, like, really connected is chemistry in my head that people may be, like, looking over. like the when they were like as a group, the Tornado Wranglers, and what was the other company called that she was like working with or consulting for?
Storm Parr.
So when Storm Parr and the Tornado Wrangler Hobbies. Team were talking to each other, yeah. Or were hanging out in the gas station together, and she was like, yeah, we're going west, and then they drive east. Like, that was chemistry to me. That was the chemistry between them. They were, like, kind of ragging at each other, and, like, that felt like chemistry to me. Like, yeah. When she kept trying to, like, push him off the track, and he kept showing up anyways, like, and he would, like, pull up next to her and have that little Glenn Powell smile looking at her while they were driving side by side. I was like, that was chemistry. What are people talking about?
They just, like, don't get it.
They don't get it.
They don't fucking get it. And also, it is so true that you could put Glenn Powell in a, like, padded room and he would have chemistry with the pads in the room.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. He's like, so charming. That's the guy. Like, I'm so glad we're having, like, a Glennaissance right now.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's a leading man.
Yeah, it is.
He has a great personality. He has a great rapport. He is, like, shines in everything he's in every late-night interview. Like, he is... Like, thank God men are back.
Let me throw it out. Let me throw something out here for you. A question for you, if you will.
Shoot.
What is the big difference between someone like him and someone like Chris Evans? Because I don't get Chris Evans. I don't know why people think he's
hot. I don't either. I've actually kind of, like... And here's the thing is, like...
What is the difference between them? Because I think Glenn Powell is, like, one of the hottest men... out there right now, but
I think it's just
he's got
panache.
A goofy smile and he's got like kind of like a funny charm about him.
Well, that's the thing, he's got that like Texas charm, like he's just like a southern boy, you know? Yeah, what I mean, like, and he's got, I think it's just a personality thing. Like, I do think some people are just more magnetic than others.
It's just the magnetism.
I think it's a magnetism. Yeah. I really do. I think that, like, I do think so.
Yeah,
I think that someone like Glenn Powell was always going to be famous.
Yeah, that's a good
but
point.
Here's the kiss scene.
Charisma takes you a long way.
It's like a good kiss.
Okay, but this moment, there was a tornado coming.
That's the thing.
I fuck with the tornado. I don't care about this.
And here's the thing. I'm so glad they left it out of the movie.
I am too.
I'm so glad that I got to watch it on Twitter.
Yeah.
I loved watching Daisy Edgar Allan Poe and Glenn Powell suck face on Twitter.
They weren't even on camera on that one. They're just sucking face backstage. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I agree. I think that they had great chemistry, and I'm really glad they didn't include that in the movie, because
we didn't need it.
It was about her coming back to that moment was about her coming back to Iowa and like
Oklahoma.
Staying connected to her roots in Oklahoma. It wasn't about her staying for him. She was staying for the tornadoes.
They turned around.
The next scene is
them walking out of the airport.
Well, but after that, remember she's taking pictures. And Ben is like, I'm going to wrap the story. And the story was about her.
You're right.
It's not about her and Glenn Powell. It's about her.
It's about her.
And I like that they kept it that way.
My favorite scene in the whole movie is when he bolts his rusty screws into the airport pickup sidewalk.
Yep.
That was like
that
electrifying.
Too. It was very electrifying.
I was like, holy shit, like play it again.
I really loved, one of my favorite scenes was the first time that she rode in his truck. And she sets all those fireworks off in the middle of the street.
Dude, the Tornado Wrangler truck goes so fucking hard, dude.
It did go really hard.
I fucking love that movie. If you don't... Here's the thing. If you didn't like Twisters 2024, I can't help you.
We're on different wavelengths.
I can't help you. I don't actually know what you want.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what you're looking for.
Everything.
And again, amazing pace. The movie was a little bit less than 2 hours.
It was actually
was
2 hours and 2 minutes.
Perfect length.
It was great.
I didn't need more. I did not need less. It was the perfect length and the perfect pace for that length.
It left me wanting nothing. It delivered everything I wanted. And I was, but at no point during the movie was I like, let's get it moving.
The only thing that I want is to watch it again.
Right.
And that's the sign of a good movie, is when I'm like, I could go back into the theater and watch that immediately again.
Twisters is, I know this episode is going to come out, like, in a couple weeks, so I think, like, 2 weeks, honestly, so I don't even know if Twisters is going to be in theaters, but if you bitches listening right now have not gone to see Twisters in theaters, you need to go. It is not going to be the same when you have to watch it on your little TV at home. Mark my fucking words.
Correct, yeah.
It's going to be good, but if you can go see it in theaters, go fucking see that movie in theaters.
And if you insist on watching it home, just buy it. Don't rent it. You're going to want to own it. You're going to like it. You're going to love it. Love it even.
It's true. I mean, yeah.
I'm a big buy not rent guy.
You love to buy
because
a movie.
The reality is, if I'm going to rent it for $20, I might as well buy it for $25.
And that's so true.
And if I want to watch it again, great. And if I don't want to watch it again, then
you have it.
Whatever, it was $3 more.
More, right? That's not putting you out.
Exactly. It's not like hurting me. So I'm going to be buying Twisters. Absolutely. I'm actually thinking about just buying the 2-pack. because you know that they're going to do a bundle with the first and second.
Twisters is the original Twister is on Hulu right now. You can stream it right now.
Exactly, right now. Oh. You know, when it comes out and they're going to like rent Twisters, I guarantee they're going to make it so you have to, they're going to paywall the first one immediately so that you have to rent or buy the set. But whatever. I kind of want this set because I love them both.
So that was Twisters. Last comments on Twisters.
I love how we spent 10 minutes on Twisters and 40 minutes on Trap.
It's because I don't have anything to say about Twisters other than that I fucking loved it.
It was amazing.
I don't have any constructive criticism, nothing to say other than that. Nothing. 10 out of 10. Perfect movie experience.
No notes.
The other thing we've been experiencing a lot of, like, perfect music this summer.
Oh my.
This is the summer of music. It's been great. And so I
have. Are we gonna talk about music?
We're going to talk about music, but I actually have to get us into, to kind of start the, get the ball rolling. I have a little activity for you.
Oh my God.
So we're going to play Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Okay.
But it's a new Fuck, Marry, Kill. So it's
with albums?
With albums, but there's four. So it's Fuck, Marry, Kill, Situationship.
Okay.
So it's either an album that you'd fuck, like have a one night stand with, marry, commit to forever, kill, you could never listen to it again. And Situationship is like you would fuck with it pretty hard for like a month or two and then give it up.
Prepare for silence because I'm going to be really serious about considering this, okay?
I know. So Fuck, Marry, Kill, Situationship. And I've tailored this. These are our summer albums, okay, that we've been rocking with.
Okay.
Fuck, Marry, Kill, Situationship. Clairo Charm.
Okay.
Billie Eilish, Hit Me Hard and Soft.
Okay.
Charlie XCX, Brat.
Mm-hmm.
Remy Wolf, Big Ideas. These are, like, the only albums I think you and I have listened to all summer. I've not turned on another musical artist.
That is a very...
I've had the girls very on
difficult
repeat.
Choice. And I... We now own three of the four albums. Nope, two of the four.
We need...
On record.
We need
Brat, and we need Hit Me Hard and Soft. Man, that is challenging.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to kill anyone.
You have to. I know, you have to, though.
I feel like I'm going to have to start with kill here because deciding between the other three is I'm not going to want to, like, land on one to kill, you know? Like, I don't want to kill by default because I've used the other three. I feel like I want to get that out of the way now.
Okay.
I'd
go back. I'd do it the other way around. I would choose my, like... Marry, Situationship, and Fuck first.
You're putting me in a hole here, and so nobody hate me, but I know what I'm gonna do.
I know you are gonna have to kill someone that you love.
I know what I'm gonna kill.
Who are you gonna kill?
Charm.
You're gonna kill Charm?
Yes.
Okay.
Only because this is my only option.
I think that's fine.
Because
you have to kill someone.
I'm marrying Remy. I'm marrying Big Ideas.
Big Ideas. Big Ideas is such a good album.
I understand was maybe not perfectly received. I don't care. That album is a 10 out of 10 for me. It has...
What are the streets saying about Big Ideas? Critics don't like it?
I mean, you know, like, we have, like, some friends who, like, were mixed on it. It does have, like, very different feels throughout the whole album.
People didn't like that it
was kind of, like, not consistent. That's why I did like it.
I do, because you and I love a sonically diverse, top-to-bottom album.
I love when it's sonically diverse. Charm is also a 10 out of 10 album. And I'll give my reasons for everything.
Please,
I guess.
I'm trying
Charm,
to have a conversation.
Charm is a 10 out of 10 album. It is consistent, sonically. And it's the only one that, like, I would listen to Charm, I think, well outside of summer. And that's why I'm killing it. Because it is not, to me, just a summer music album. I'm going to be listening to Charm always. Now, the other albums, I'm basing on, like, the fact that I'm going to be stuck in summer with these albums sometimes.
Got it.
So, I'm going to marry Big Ideas, because I want Remy always and forever. I think that she's never had a bad song.
You want Remy Wolf to have a Chapel Roan moment.
I do. I think that she will because she's following the same path of, like, career path of, like, following Olivia Rodrigo on tour, releasing a album with Olivia while she's on tour with her, and then having her own solo album and doing festivals and stuff. So I really hope that Remy Wolf has her Chapel Roan moment.
Remy Wolf is
I'm hoping. I can only dream. But I'm going to put Big Ideas as Mary. I love too many of those songs too much, well outside of anything else.
That's a no skip.
That's a no skip for me. I would shuffle that album, play it in order, listen to it on repeat all day if I could.
What's your favorite Big Ideas song right now?
Big Ideas. My favorite Big Ideas song. That's hard because it changes
right
like
now,
every time I
right
listen
now,
to it.
Right now.
Yeah, right
That's
now.
Why I
know. It changes like every single time I listen to that album. So I think that my favorite right now, I would have to say that Toro is my
God, favorite. That's such a fucking good song.
It's just always, every time I listen to Toro, that song makes me want to jump up and down and dance around and do a little happy dance. I really wish that the same people that did that Chaperone dance night would do a Remy Wolf dance night. I'd be shaking my ass.
Remy on Wolf the dance night.
We need that so bad.
Should we throw one?
That'd be awesome.
Should we rent a bar?
I'm going to learn how to DJ just to make my own Remy Wolf dance night.
Well, when we went to the Chaperone dance night, she wasn't DJing. She just had a track list. You don't need any skills.
Yeah,
you just
but need a she laptop. Like transitioned.
That's fair.
That's something.
We can learn.
You got to learn, yeah. Okay, so I would marry Big Ideas. I'd kill Charm. I am going to situationship Hit Me Hard and Soft, and I'm going to fuck Brat.
Okay.
I love Brat. Brat makes me feel so different than any other album I've ever felt.
That's it.
But I could see myself being locked to Brat being a summer album for me. So I think that might be a one-night stand for me. I don't know how long-term that one's going to last for me because it's so different than my normal musical listen day-to-day.
That's the thing is, like, we don't usually sit down and listen to hyperpop.
I don't usually listen to hyperpop or electronic. Yeah. I'm not a big electronic guy. I enjoy it in bursts. But, yeah, that's going to be my thing there. And Situationship for Hit Me Hard and Soft. I think that that one is more, like, phases for me, you know what I mean? Like a situationship. Phases and stages in life. That's what that kind of hits for me. Like, I really enjoyed her earlier stuff, but I enjoy it for bursts of time. I don't enjoy it always, and when I do enjoy it, I enjoy it a lot. Like, I'm really deep back into that album right now. Yeah, but when those other three albums came out, I didn't listen to Hit Me Hard and Soft, any of the songs on there, one single time.
Yeah.
So it fits into that situationship category for me, I think.
That's really smart.
Yeah. Wow. So that's where I'm at. I don't want to kill Charm because I have never been, like, a big Clairo fan. Like, I've never been, like, a super fan. I like her music, but, like, never was, like, as deep as I was into one of her albums. And that album made me want to go back and listen to other albums. But there's no way I'm killing any of those other albums.
That's fair.
So it had to be her.
Do you want to hear mine?
Please.
Okay, so I am going to actually marry Charm.
Yep.
Because that is an album, and you said it best, like, it's so consistent. Like, yeah. It does just feel like when I put those songs on, like, I've been playing it out.
Feel the sun on my skin.
I've been playing it at work, yeah. And, like, usually I'm only allowed to play, like, lo-fi, like, ambient music, but I'm, like, I genuinely think that Clairo, like, Charm fits into, like, the ambient music category.
I do, too.
And there's not a single explicit song on there.
Yeah.
So I've just been shuffling the album, and multiple people have been like, I like this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, bitch.
I showed it to my mom, and my mom really liked it.
It's good. And, like, it's just, like, comforting, and, like, I love it. Like, yeah. I can tell that this album is gonna, like, swaddle me and cradle me.
Yes. It's gonna be an album you can listen to. That's why I was saying, like, this is hard because it's a summer album list.
Totally.
This is not a summer album to me. This is a forever album. And
but it came out in the summer.
It
and
did.
It's gonna be forever tied with me to summer 2024.
Correct, yeah, because we're having that wave right now.
We're having that wave. We're having election year pop, as I like to call
it. Yeah, recession pop.
Recession pop, yeah, whatever you want to call
it. It's a rare recession and election year pop combined, so the music's especially good.
Yeah, you're right. So I'm marrying Charm because I want to commit to that album.
I love
for the
it.
Long haul, yeah. And I can tell I'm going to.
I understand that.
I'm going to.
And I even respect it, even though I couldn't do it.
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, I don't want to kill any of these either.
No, I hear you.
But I have to.
Yeah.
I am going to...
It's the only hard decision of this, I actually feel.
I'm going to situationship Brat.
Oh, okay.
Because you said that too, right?
No, I said fuck Brat.
You said fuck Brat. So I'm going to situationship Brat.
I think
Brat.
You're going to do it for the same reason I did Billy.
Of, like, I can see myself forgetting about this album in a couple months, not listening to it at all.
And then coming back next
and
summer.
And then coming back at some other point in time and being like, I need to listen to 365.
Yeah.
Like... And the thing I love, I will be coming back to Brat. You know what I mean? I'm still listening. I have listened to Brat all day today.
You came home to me listening to Brat
today. I
came home
to you listening. So I'm not, like, done with Brat yet, without a doubt.
It's still summer.
It's still summer. And, like, yeah, like, I'm bumping that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Maybe November 7th.
Maybe November 7th.
The day after election day.
If Kamala wins, though... It's going to be
Brown. Oh, yeah.
We're actually having a brown
coconut,
winter.
Coconut.
Anyway, yeah. So what did I say? I'm going to situationship Brat.
Yep.
I am going to fuck. Are you looking at my agenda? I have some
stuff
I'm not going
to get
to on here.
Just looking at the four albums.
So don't let that dissuade you or get you off track.
No, I'm looking at the albums.
I am going to fuck big ideas.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, I'm going to kill Hit Me Hard and Soft.
I actually saw that coming for you.
Because that... And here's the thing. I listen to two songs all the time.
Diner.
I listen to The Diner, and I listen to Birds of a Feather.
Yeah.
And those two songs are perfect, amazing, no notes. The whole album is good, but I find myself, I don't go back to it.
Magnetically pulled to those songs.
I'm really, but I fuck with The Diner, which I've talked about ad nauseum on this podcast. I fucking love that song.
I agree with you. I think it's one of the best.
I don't get why other people don't fuck with The Diner.
It's a sleeper song. It's a sleeper on the album for sure.
It's one of the best.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's because, maybe I already said this, but I like a fictionalized kind of song like that. I like that. I don't know why. I like it when she was, it was this character, you know?
That's similar to one of your favorite Taylor Swift songs.
Vigilante shit?
Yeah, no, I think I did it, but he just can't prove it.
You're right, yeah.
Song's got a clear story. And your favorite album, I mean, isn't folklore based off of, it's all fictionalized, right?
The folklore love triangle is.
Yeah, so but you nobody, and you love that as well.
Nobody, No Crime is on Evermore, though. Anyway, not Evermore.
That's fine, but those she can write fictionally more than one song.
Yeah, and so I do like it when people embody a character of sorts, and The Diner just delivers. I love how she's entering the mind space of someone who's stalking her. I just think it's really cool.
And I told you about the phone number at the end, right?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I love it.
Such a fun little detail.
I called it on air.
Yeah.
I think, but
you did. That's
so,
right.
Yeah. So I love this, but I have to kill that album because I just don't go back to any song other than Birds of a Feather.
And no other albums by Billy either.
And I have historically not been a Billy girl.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because ideologically, I really fuck with Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
There's something about the entirety of her musical catalog where I don't really...
Just doesn't connect
with you. It
just
doesn't connect, but I do like... If you asked me if I was a Billie Eilish fan, I would say yes.
Yeah.
If you asked me why, I would know.
Yeah, I like some of her songs. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that Billie also, this was the first album that she really... I heard a couple people say this. She really fucking sang. She did not whisper.
She didn't...
She actually sang this album.
She did sing.
She, you can tell she clearly did, vocal training because, she hits some very unique sounds with her voice that she's never done. Birds of a Feather was the loudest I've ever heard her.
I mean, Birds of a Feather is so...
And good. Is so beautiful. It's so beautiful.
I'm, getting chills thinking about it.
And, for me, it connects a lot to those electronic things about Brat that are really connecting for me this summer with that one French-titled song. That ends in the club banger.
Yeah.
I
love that.
The ending of that song is so tickles my
brain. I like that song because it's a secret double song.
And Chihiro also is such a swelling moment for me. I just love that song. Yeah.
Chihiro does fuck.
I really love
Chihiro. And here's the thing. If you put on any of the songs from Ear and Soft, I'd be bumping that. I'd be into that. I just personally wouldn't go.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah, so that's why I have to kill it.
I get it, yeah.
But yeah, that's my answer.
It's a difficult decision to make, but I think
it's a difficult
you made
decision to make.
I mean, other summer music, we haven't even got it yet, but bro.
I mean,
Chapel, give us something, please. Give it to me, Rachel, please, so bad. I want something
Miss
from Chapel.
She literally just released Rise and Fall Midnight's Princess last year.
Last year, yeah, but she's got singles that she's already singing on tour. Give me a single or something. I want Subway so bad.
I heard that she's going to release Subway in the fall.
And then...
I feel like that's going to be the first single from her sophomore project. Personally, that's what I'm feeling.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, I agree. But I think I'm absolutely tingling in my chair for the new Sabrina album.
Me too, I'm so excited.
We need it.
Apparently Chapel Roan, I've been hearing, the whispers on the streets and stuff are saying that, she's, kind of overwhelmed. Which I would understand.
Yeah, she got so famous
and
so fast.
I can see her, taking a step back for a few months.
I think that's great.
And then coming back, next year
with
her sophomore
album.
I've
just heard Subway too many times.
Subway is so good, dude. I listen every time. I get, a high-quality video of her singing it, I listen to the whole thing, and I'm
same.
Like, wow, amazing, no notes.
But I need a
She's got away, she got away, you tell them.
Yes, I need a produced version of it, is all. I need a non-phone audio recording version of it, is all.
Well, and what's so funny to me
is
that...
I love Chapel Roan. She was such a big summer moment as well. She was the earliest
Chapel
part
Roan
of this
to
summer
me
summer.
Was last summer's album.
But you were part of that. You were there first.
I was there when it released last June or July, and me and Montana were listening to that album last summer a lot. And, like, we went to go see her last November. And so I think it's funny now that people are calling, like, The Rise and Fall of the Midwest Princess, like, because a lot of people didn't find out about that album until Coachella in April.
Yeah.
And so that's, like, their this summer album.
Well,
but
that's the Olivia Rodrigo launching her into fame pipeline.
I don't think Olivia Rodrigo did that.
She
did.
She went around. That is how she got her, like, statistically, her, like, streams and stuff started really launching when she started opening for Olivia Rodrigo.
But what happened was she got the chance to go to Coachella. So she ditched the rest of Olivia's tour, started playing all these festival lineups, and I think Coachella was her biggest.
That was her biggest, the only reason that was a cultural phenomenon
when she was at Coachella.
That's just my connection with Remy, is I want Remy to have that same...
I'm gonna say...
I want big ideas.
I don't think Olivia Rodrigo has the power to launch people into fame like that.
I don't know, man.
Olivia Rodrigo?
I don't know if I agree with you. I don't know if I agree.
A Tay daughter?
Still, yeah.
A Tay daughter cannot have her own daughters yet. Do you know what a Tay daughter is?
Yes.
Okay. Like, there has to
be... I just think that
there's
that's
no live daughters
Look,
yet.
I just think that Olivia Rodrigo, she's selling out stadiums. Like, she's not selling out Eras Tour stadiums, but she's going and selling out arenas and stadiums on tour. Her tour is massive, and it is absolutely... I mean, you can say what you want. It didn't alone launch Chapel Roan. Not saying that.
It was a perfect storm.
But it was a perfect storm, and I want to see that storm happen again.
Well, and I just
want that same trajectory.
Unfortunately, I like kind of want to gatekeep Remy Wolf, though.
I don't.
And that's where we differ.
Yeah.
I don't want to gatekeep
any artists. She's already big enough that, like, nobody's listening to me. I'm not making it that big of an influence on Remy Wolf's
fans. No, 100%. 100%. But, yeah, I like... Yeah, dude, Remy Wolf just slaps.
She's just so good.
And we're going to see her in October.
I know.
And I'm so excited.
I'm extremely excited.
I cannot wait. I'm going to dance my fucking head off.
Yep. From the nosebleeds.
I'm going to dance my fucking head off. Well, you know that I love the nosebleeds.
You do.
I fuck with the nosebleeds.
And the Greek is awesome.
I'm
they have
so
these
excited
huge
to go to the Greek theater.
Screens that are like, you're,
get her to
we're
the
going to be like right there. But
I'm so excited.
It's going to be a really, really fun show. I'm super excited. I've heard she's amazing live.
I mean, I heard her singing on Jimmy Kimmel, I think.
Yeah.
And dude, those vocals are fucking nuts. Like, she was singing Soup and I was like, bitch, what the fuck? Like,
so
what's
good,
going on?
Yeah.
And then I found out that Remy Wolf got her start on American Idol, weirdly
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, that is weird.
Like,
but she like disappeared.
Yeah, she like disappeared. Like, I guess she didn't. I don't blame someone for not wanting to be on American Idol. They'll fuck you over and chew you up and spit you out. But
lock you into all kinds of crazy deals in Vegas and shit.
Yeah, holy shit. But yeah. Anyway,
I guess that's our summer music lineup.
Do we have any other summer music that we've been listening to? Like, is there any other summer music that I left out?
You know,
I just did those four albums because that's kind of like those are like canon to like our kind of summer we're
having.
Yeah. But I'm pulling up my Spotify right now.
It's kind of boy music for me. There's not been like a lot, like those are like really the girl hits, but the boy music has been hitting too. I'm a sucker for Dana and Alden, which you know, also known as Gucci Pineapple.
That's
his like jazz group. They just dropped a new album and it's like fantastic. Childish Gambino dropped in my opinion his best album. I think it's like...
That's his last Childish Gambino project.
Yeah, he said that about the last one, though. So, we'll see.
I read this interview with him where him saying, like, he has nothing left to give with Childish Gambino. It wasn't fulfilling anymore.
Yep, he said that about his last album.
Okay. I think it'd be kind of cool to end off, like, the Childish Gambino project with the album and the movie.
Yeah.
And then totally switch projects.
Do
like, I think that
else,
would kind of
yeah.
slap.
I agree.
Love that.
I think it'd be cool. Glass Animals dropped a new album. Huge letdown. It was not good.
Glass Animals dropped a new album?
It's called I Love You So Fucking Much. And there's like two songs on it that are good. That's but everything else just sounds like kind of just like a boring repeat.
You know what dropped?
Previous.
That I haven't listened to yet.
What's that?
Is Stampede.
I haven't
Orby.
Either. Yeah, that'd be good.
That
Orville Peck. Was that song that I sent you from him a single from that album?
Death Valley High?
Yeah.
100%.
So then that's a good sign because I loved that song.
Well, it's an album of duets. So every
Ooh.
Single song. I'm going to pull it up right now.
Yeah, let's talk through it.
We have Orville Peck and Willie Nelson. They did a cover of Cowboys Are Frequently Secretly Fond of Each Other.
Yes.
I
did not know that was part of that album.
The Hurt and Kind. Because he released a couple singles. So that was one of them. The Hurt and Kind with Midland. Do you know Midland? I've never heard of them before. Midland? Midland?
No.
Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting with Elton John. Back at Your Door with Debbie Dawson, Chemical Sunset with Allison Russell, Death Valley High with Beck, How Far Will We Take It with Noah Cyrus, Me and, which I've listened to that song. I do like that song a lot. I think that Noah Cyrus has a really nice voice. I like her. Mienteme with Boo Cuaron. Papa Was a Rodeo with Molly Tuttle and the Golden Highway. Midnight Ride with Kylie Minogue Fucks. That's like kind of got a disco vibe. Mm. Like a few more. There's like so many. Oh, he has a Nathaniel Rateliff track on here.
I don't know. I don't think I know one of those people that you said other than Beck.
That's okay. You don't know Elton John.
Well, I know Elton John, obviously.
You don't know Kylie Minogue? She was kind of like a 90s girl.
No.
But yeah, anyway, so I have to listen to Stampede because I have to study up. We're going to see him also in October.
Yep. So like a week or something after Remy, or maybe a few days after Remy. It's soon after Remy.
I think we're going, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so that's kind of what's up. Anything else that you thought of? Anything
else you need to get off the chest? No, I mean, I was off. I was like rocking off your agenda today. Is there anything else in the agenda we haven't hit?
I mean, the only thing that else I had on the agenda was actually because you mentioned Bones earlier, obviously.
Yeah.
And the other night when you were like, holy shit, like, did you know that there's an episode where Armie Hammer plays a cannibalistic murderer? And I was like, no.
Yeah, he plays like this weird like soccer player character from like 2013.
And he's a cannibal.
Yeah.
Which is so insane. Like, I think it's really weird when people who are fucked up like that choose to play characters that are them.
Well, I think I know what it is, and I'm going to armchair psychology.
Can you talk to me? Because I don't know shit about Bones. I don't know shit about Armie Hammer.
Sure, yeah.
But
don't know shit about either of them either. But I look at shows like You, right?
With Chris D'Elia. That's immediately what I thought of, was exactly. That Chris D'Elia played himself in that show.
You know what I think it is? It's a classic. It's the same.
Like, throw him off my scent. Hey, like, if I do this, they'll never guess.
Weird connection back to Trap. But people who are, like, narcissists and egomaniacs have ego. And
that's
they, like,
true.
Want to, like, show off. You know what I mean? So I think it's an ego thing. Would be my guess.
I would
is that like they are like, well, people will never suspect me of doing this thing, so I'm just gonna do it on main, and then it comes out later that they actually do it, and that's why they were so good at acting about doing it.
Yeah, you're right. That is like it is such a narcissist thing, though.
I also think that just like being famous just corrupts you and fucks you up.
Yeah, that's true. What I have as a podcast map out actually is I'm gonna do a full Armie Hammer timeline.
Ooh.
And I'm gonna go back like to his family with his grandpa and everything.
I remember we did research on that and it was crazy.
Like I'm going, and people have obviously done this before me, but so I'm not like giving people any new information.
Yeah.
But for my own sake, I need to have a podcast episode dedicated to psychoanalyzing Armie Hammer.
Mm.
And like maybe what like there's a generational curse happening there that I really want to dive into.
Yeah. I was actually talking to a coworker recently about, like, superstition and stuff, and I'm like, I don't know about curses, but, like, I'm mad superstitious about stuff lately. I don't know what it is.
Are you?
Like, I feel like work the other day, like, somebody, like, during the download was like, oh, they're, Mercury's in retrograde today, so watch out. And then I had, like, the worst customer day of my life.
Well, it's because Mercury's in retrograde.
Yeah, but, like... It's kind of, like, silly because it's, like, thing, but it, like, kind of is, too. It's the same thing, like, I have wild, wild interactions when there's a full moon.
Have you been getting
So, like, maybe there is a curse.
Have you been seeing on TikTok all of the astrologists who are predicting that Donald Trump is going to die in October or November?
No.
Okay, so it's...
But I'm on board.
So I have been seeing... for some reason, I'm on the side of TikTok where I'm getting, like, all these election astrologers.
Okay.
And people are, like, tracking
specifically their...
Specifically astrologers.
Okay.
About, like, election astrologers.
Sweet.
And so I take it all with a grain of salt. I think it's fun.
Sure.
And it's time.
It is fun.
It's fun. And so they're, like, going through, like, Kamala's houses or whatever. Like, whatever house she's in, like, is, like... stuff is like open or whatever in November,
sure,
whatever,
yeah,
blah, blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. What is interesting though, is that Pluto is in the exact, I don't know what the fuck this means. I don't know what Pluto means, but what's interesting is that according to these election astrologers, Pluto is in the exact same position for the first time since 1776 when the country was formed. And Pluto, I think that's interesting.
So they think it's going to be like, this election's going to be like a reform of the country
perhaps.
Again?
Mm. But what all of them have been saying, like, even prior to Joe Biden dropping out of the race, was that they were all like, I'm kind of seeing, like, nothing for Donald Trump at the end of, like, in November. Like, they're all just, like, I see nothing. Like, I see nothing.
Everything kind of passes. Like, it's just...
And people are like, so what does that mean? And they're like, we don't see anything for him. Like, it could mean he drops out of the race, or it could mean that he, like, dies.
So he either dies or he loses all steam.
Apparently, there's, like, illness in his chart for this year. Anyway, I love hearing that. The oldest
presidential nominee ever has illness in his chart?
Not to speak ill of the living, but, like, they're telling me what
I do. It's Donald Trump.
I'm speaking ill of the living and the dead. Who the fuck cares? Yeah. I love hearing that, personally, on my side of the aisle. Yeah. Here's the thing. I love astrology when it tells me what I want to hear. Okay. And so I'm rocking with it. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just think it's interesting that, like, separately, all of these astrologers, because there's something to the planets. You know what I mean?
Oh, there's something
to it. You were just saying that with the Mercury retrograde, the full moon, whatever. There's something to it. And I'm like, I'm holding out.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see if Donald Trump drops dead in November. I'm going to be like, those bitches on TikTok knew.
They knew.
And if that happens, no one can ever tell me shit about astrology ever again.
Ever again.
I'll be like...
It's all true all the time.
They never miss.
Blind faith. We love blind faith in this country.
That's how... I mean, I was going to say, like, people believe in...
I wish I was joking.
People believe in God. Why not the fucking planets?
Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
God is planets.
Well, the myth of, like, the Greek myth of planets being Greek gods.
Hey,
literally is, like... It is, like, a religion.
It is true.
Just Christianity.
And here's what I was thinking. Okay, this is completely, like, a sidebar as well. And I'm going to sign off soon because we've been recording for a while.
Sounds great.
But basically, the other day, I was, like, I was watching this TikTok of this mom who was, like, taking her kids to the Creationist Museum. Have you heard of this?
Yes.
And I was, like, interesting.
The one with, like, the real life-sized ark?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they have a dinosaur, which is
interesting. Bill Nye did a tour there.
But...
And, like, ripped the tour... head to shreds. Like, the manager of the, like, facilitation or whatever, like, took him on tour, and Bill Nye was like, oh, well, based on what you're seeing here, if this is all real, then the ark never would have fucking worked. Like, ripped him to shreds.
Here's
really
the
funny
thing about... I'm not gonna talk about the Creation Museum.
Of course.
I'm gonna talk about a hypothetical here, in which because I feel like there's either people who are, like, believe in evolution, or people who believe in creation.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'm not the first person to say this, but, like, I don't take part in a lot of religious discussions, so I just have never heard this point of view before. Really, I'm like, why can't it be both? Like, in my opinion, I don't believe in God.
Yeah.
You know? I believe in something.
Sure.
Universe, God, whatever you want to call that. I think that, in that case, God did the Big Bang.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why does it have to be one or the other? Like, why does it have to be God made Earth? Why couldn't it be, like, God set the stage for the Big Bang to happen and then everything happened? Like, to me, those can coexist. Those are not mutually exclusive in my mind.
This opens up a lot of conversations that I've actually had a lot. So there's a couple things here.
Because you grew up
couple
religious. You know the Bible and shit, and I don't.
Yeah, so
can you talk to me about that?
Of course. I mean, I think that a part of it is, like, just human nature. It has to have a creationist story, right? Stories are told in
TikTok
humanity.
TikTok and God can't exist in the same timeline? Like,
so what it is, the reason why creationists hate evolution is because if humans evolved from monkeys, it breaks the story that God created humans. God didn't create humans if humans evolved from monkeys.
God, that's so stupid.
Right?
Yeah, I get it.
I'm sure there's a religion out there that believes what you're saying, because
God did the Big Bang.
Well, God supposedly created the earth and all the animals, right? So why did it, like, there's no one out there to say, like, I've never heard this pitched, but who's to say God didn't create monkeys and then the monkeys evolved into humans, right? Like,
right,
there's a way
right.
that it's both, right? But that being said, scientists already know enough about evolution to we know that walking creatures came from tectonic. Right?
Yeah, I love TikTok. That's my mommy.
That's one of your favorites.
That's mommy.
But that disproves that God created the creatures. So God created only water creatures and not land creatures? It breaks the argument when you talk about evolution and where all life on Earth came from bacteria in the ocean.
Because
then you're, like,
saying, like,
that, okay, then God created bacteria in the ocean. But then they know that the Earth was Pangaea at one point, right? It wasn't the Earth we know, right? And there was a point in time where Earth was young and just a rock and didn't have any water on their surface. So did God create the rock? No, right? So science goes back and, like, tells us, like, if planets are created this way and we know how they're created,
then that breaks any illusion that God created life, because scientists know where life came from. Right?
Okay.
So yeah. That's why they hate evolution. It's not necessarily evolution specifically.
It's not.
It creates a disillusion around science being not true.
It makes the whole thing fall apart.
And that's why we're in the current situation we are with, like, COVID. Because now the Christians don't believe that a virus can kill you, like coronavirus.
Because God can only do that, or what?
God loves you and didn't create coronavirus, right? It came from a science lab in China, is the statement. So it's a war on religion and science, not on evolution specifically. They use evolution as a talking point, the same way they do, like, guns, right? It's just a means to an end argument, not necessarily that they have a bone to pick with specifically evolution. Because if you think about evolution, it breaks a lot of things of religion.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like, it's just like the movie Trap, where if you think about it too much, it starts to fall apart.
Exactly.
The Bible.
And that's why I'm not religious anymore, is because I thought about it a lot and asked a lot of questions. And a lot of people said, I don't have an answer. You just have to trust God. And I was like, okay, no then.
That motherfucker?
I was like, then no.
Interesting.
What? Okay, my sister gets cancer and I just have to be like, oh, he's good.
That's because God wanted that.
No, that's not how that works. Scientists, doctors can tell me how she got cancer. They can show me the genes that show that she got cancer. I'm going to believe the thing that I know works and the surgeons that saved her life the first time and did surgery because of science and their doctorates, you know? Like,
it's fucking crazy.
I'm not going to believe this belief that, like, if I, like, close my eyes and think hard enough, she's going to get better.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And it broke it all for me.
I have this real, like, voyeuristic tendency when it comes to religious people. Like, you know, you see me, like, mainlining Fundy Fridays content.
Yeah.
Like, but I just, like, cannot get my head, because I wasn't raised in that head. Like, I cannot get my mind into a place of people who believe that shit.
Yeah.
Because I didn't come from people who raised me like that.
Yeah.
I'm not around people like that. Like, I just don't get it.
For me, it's a revelation of ignorance is bliss. It's really easy not to be scared of things when you think that there's a floating being calling all the shots.
That's true. And honestly,
it makes your life easier.
I was going to say, like,
yeah.
Rock on. Whatever.
It's similar to astrology.
Make your life easier.
Oh, whatever. The stars are aligned that way. That's why it's happening. Instead of, like, being like, it happened because things happened.
Totally. I'd say the thing with astrology, though, is that they're not trying to, like, astrology doesn't care if gay people get married.
Correct. And yeah. No. The blind faith is the same, but not the damage. Right. Like, I started to go like, oh, hey, it's pretty damaging that you're telling people to not be sad their family died because they're in a better place now. No, it's okay to be sad that your family died.
That's fucking
That was
stupid.
My final straw. Lauren got sick, and then I went to church, and somebody else had cancer
and
died.
It all happens for a reason, or whatever.
And they were like, they're in a better place now, so don't be sad. And I was like, that's so fucked up to tell someone who just lost a family member to not be sad because they're happy now. Like, okay, but I'm not. I'm allowed to be sad.
Yeah, that's fucked.
And they were like, well, you shouldn't be. And I was like, don't tell me not to be sad. And it kind of, like, just pulled the thread that broke the whole, you know, the whole thing that everything was built up
before. A deconstructed king.
Well, it took a lot longer after that, but yeah.
Well, yeah.
You get there in the end.
We got there in the end. And now you're gay.
And pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much gay.
Deconstruction from Christianity made you gay.
Yep.
The right wingers can clip that and put it on their fucking rage bait.
That'll be
TikTok.
the talking point for centuries.
Yeah, go for it. Anyway, I think we're going to sign off. That was like a really crazy way to end the podcast. I was like, one quick sidebar about the creation of existence.
Yep.
Peace out.
I'm sure everybody wanted to hear my rant on religion.
That's why I had you on the podcast. I'm loving this people with different viewpoints coming on the podcast.
It's great.
For you, example, and if you are knowing things about the Bible.
And if you are a Christian out there listening to this podcast.
No, they are not listening.
Then, I don't know, think about it for a little bit and get back to me.
Honestly, if you're not hurting anyone else, I don't care.
I don't care either.
If you're advocating for people's rights to be stripped away, I have an issue. But if you just want to believe in God, I actually think that's chill as hell.
I love that gay church up the street in Hillcrest.
The gay church in Hillcrest, I'm like, they're doing it right.
There you go.
They're actually...
Just love. Preach love. I love that.
What I love...
I have no problem with it.
Okay, I'm going to tell the audience, for those who don't know, there's a church in Hillcrest, which is like the gayborhood in San Diego, if you're not from here. But they basically did, over Lent, they did an entire series of lectures there about bad theology.
Yeah.
And their whole thing was that they were giving up bad theology for Lent. And I love that. Like, I just, I love the way they...
The tagline for the church is like, all doors are open. Our doors are for everyone.
Doors are open
and
everyone.
They have rainbow doors pasted on the front of their church. Like, it's really cute. And I think that that kind of love is what
and they're like save... openly they're like, this is an affirming church, like, yes, an affirming church,
absolutely.
And so, like,
I think it's great. And I actually, after I saw that, have seen two other churches in San Diego have the pride flag up in front of their church and say, like, our church is open to queer people. And I think, like, that's great.
I do too, because
it's healing. And I think, as long as you're not shoving it down people's throats, I agree. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to believe it, but I am happy that you do. And
listen,
I'm happy
you can
it gives
be Christian.
You
just don't do it in front of me. Keep it in the bedroom. Yeah,
exactly.
And with that, we're going to... We're going to sign off. Ty, thank you for joining me.
No problem.
I'm sure I'll have you on again.
Yeah.
Next time we need to discuss something.
It's crazy. It's like we live together.
It's like we live together. We can do this anytime.
I'll have
we
you
want.
On again. You say in our living room that we rent
in
together.
The
in the studio.
But yeah, I hope everyone enjoyed this first episode of season 2. I will be back next week with a new episode. And I hope you have a good rest of your day. Bye.